Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text Number 29. Jalam tat upavaishanam hitvagyo jala kam yaya mrigatrishnam upadavet Tata yatrartha drik svataha. Jalam, water, tat udbhavahai, by grass grown from that water. Chanam, covered, hitva, giving up. Agya, a foolish animal. Jala kamyaya, desiring to drink water. Mrigatrishnam, a mirage. Upadavet, runs after. Tata, similarly. Anyatra, somewhere else. Artadrik, self-interested. Swataha, in himself. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just as a deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well covered by grass, or runs after water elsewhere, the living entity covered by the material body does not see the happiness within himself, but runs after happiness in the material world. Purport. This is an accurate example depicting how the living entity, because of lack of knowledge, runs after happiness outside his own self. When one understands his real identity as a spiritual being, he can understand this supreme spiritual being, Krishna, and the real happiness exchanged between Krishna and oneself. It is very interesting to note how this verse points to the body's growth from the spirit soul. The modernist materialistic scientist thinks that life grows from matter, but actually the fact is that matter grows from life. The life, or the spirit soul, is compared herein to water, from which clumps of matter grow in the form of grass. One who is ignorant of scientific knowledge of the spirit soul does not look inside the body to find happiness in the soul. Steady goes outside to search for happiness. Just as a deer without knowledge of the water beneath the grass goes out to the desert to find water, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to remove the ignorance of misled human beings who are trying to find water outside the jurisdiction of life. Raso vayasaha. Rasoham apsu kuntiya. The taste of water in Krishna is, the taste of water is Krishna. To quench one's thirst, one must taste water by association with Krishna. This is the Vedic injunction. So the text again. Just as the deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well covered by grass, or runs after water elsewhere, the living entity covered by the material body does not see the happiness within himself, or runs after happiness in the material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the happiness within. He says, Vayas parshe visaktatma vindyatnatminiya sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. That such a person is not attracted to external sense objects or material pleasure, but is always entranced enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. In other words, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, and that one who becomes aware of Krishna merges into an ocean of pleasure, as Prahlad Maharaj has said, Naiva dvije para dratya vaitaranyas pravirya gayana mahamrita magna chitak socevi mukha chetasa indriyarta maya sukhayam bharam udvahato vimudan. Lord Nrisingadeva was trying to offer Prahlad Maharaj benedictions, which Prahlad Maharaj refused, saying, what is the value of the benedictions? Because whenever I chant about your holy name and glories, I merge into an ocean of transcendental happiness, and I'm completely satisfied. So what kind of benediction do I need? But I'm lamenting for those fools and rascals who've created this foolish civilization, humbug, Prabhupada says, where people are working hard for sense gratification and just getting misery as a result. So I'm lamenting for them, and I'm trying to help them become Krishna conscious. Now, it is not so easy to fix the mind upon Krishna. In the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes over different processes by which one can come to the platform of becoming conscious of Krishna. And none of them in the first six chapters are very easy. But the essence of them is to give up apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishati yadvat tadva kamiyam pravishanti sarve sa shantim apnotin akama kami. The essence is to become convinced that material happiness is not real happiness. And the way one becomes convinced that material happiness is not real happiness is that when as much as we experience real happiness, then we can see the difference. So a person is able to become aloof from material desires and material allurements if one is actually situated in a higher state of happiness in Krishna consciousness. When Krishna talks about the higher taste, Vishaya, the from sense gratification, that when one is, what is that, how does that verse go again? Vishaya vinivartante niraharasyade hinam rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. He talks about param drishva, experiencing a higher taste. Now, one who is in the mode of ignorance, their taste is going to be in the mode of ignorance. One who is in the mode of passion, their taste will be in the mode of passion predominantly. And one in goodness, their taste will be in the mode of goodness. You can't expect if you have wood that automatically you get fire. Although within the wood, there's potentially fire. But just having wood doesn't give you fire. Similarly, if you start to light a fire and all you get is smoke, you get smoke. You get more than wood, but you get smoke and wood. But that's not fire either. Only when you actually get fire can you understand that potentially within the wood there was fire. Similarly, the mode of ignorance is like wood. One cannot experience anything of Krishna consciousness. There's no fire of Krishna consciousness when one is in the mode of ignorance. Whether one is an animal, there's no sense of Krishna consciousness, or very rarely. There are instances of animals, especially devotee animals, who devotees care for. Sometimes they take an interest in Krishna consciousness. They come and listen to class, or they like kirtan. Or in the case of course, Gajendra, he became enlightened by previous pious deeds, or the famous case is Jad Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, who became a deer in his next lifetime, but a very Krishna conscious deer. But this is quite rare in the history of the universe or universes. Generally, the mode of ignorance is like wood. There is no fire of Krishna consciousness. There's fire there, there's potentially fire, but it's dormant. And smoke is compared to the mode of passion. One can understand the potential of fire because there's some smoke. As they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. But still, there's no fire. only when one comes to goodness, then there is a beginning of some fire and less smoke. And pure Krishna consciousness is only fire. There's no more wood left. The fire burns away all the wood, and there's no more smoke either. There's only fire. Therefore, there's a process, or there are many processes, whether karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga or bhakti yoga, by which one can become conscious of Krishna. But the whole idea is to become conscious of Krishna. There's no other purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's why it's called the Krishna consciousness movement, to help us become conscious of Krishna. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami has given us the nectar of devotion and given us the processes by which we can become conscious of Krishna. There are 9 processes: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Vandanam, Atma, Nivedanam. There are 9 different processes, and one can choose one of them or one can choose many of them. These processes are meant to help us fix the mind upon Krishna. And the beginning of fixing the mind upon Krishna is said, Smartha Vyaksadatam Vishnu, Vismartha Jatu Na Kinchit, Sarva Vidhi Nisedyasyo Etavyo Eva Kinkara, that all the rules and regulations that we're following are simply meant to help us always remember Krishna and never forget him. We're not trying to do anything else. Our ultimate success will be to become merged in Krishna consciousness. Any other success we may have may help. If it doesn't help us become conscious of Krishna, then it's considered shama eva hi kevalam, a waste of time. And other things which may help us, just like in the preliminary state of Krishna consciousness, unless we're healthy, then we won't think about Krishna. We'll think about our ill health. Therefore, health is a factor to help us become Krishna conscious. But of course, if one is healthy and one is not Krishna conscious, then there's no value of the health. Because as I always say, no one dies healthy. And if you die healthy, what's the value of it? Now, when we die, we have to, if we think about fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, or to whatever extent we're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that's the benefit. Because ultimately everything is tested at the time of death, how much Krishna conscious we are. And then we get our next body accordingly. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajan kalevaram, tam tam evaiti kondiya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. That whatever we think of at the time of death, then we get that next body, the next state of being. And we're practicing Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, then we're assured we're going to have an opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness either in the spiritual world or in some other existence here in the material world where we can further make progress in devotional service. But even in the spiritual world, they're also making progress in devotional service and pure Krishna consciousness. So even if we don't go back to the spiritual world, if we have an opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness here and pure devotional service, then it's practically as good as being in the spiritual world. It may not be as pleasurable because we sometimes, here in this existence, sometimes we merge in Krishna consciousness and sometimes we merge in material desires and material existence and consciousness. In any case, that material existence and consciousness is also an impetus to get out of the material world because in contrast with Krishna consciousness, we're actually developing it, is rather unpleasant. The worst thing is to cultivate Krishna consciousness and think it's secondary to cultivating our material consciousness. If one is using Krishna consciousness to cultivate material consciousness, then one probably will not get very much of a taste in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, whatever little taste that one gets from material existence will seem to be very significant. A drop of water in the desert is still a drop of water, although it's insignificant being in a desert. So here the example is water and grass and the deer trying to find water There's water right beneath its feet, but it doesn't recognize the water is right there. Instead, when it sees the mirage, something that, where water doesn't actually exist, it runs after the water in the mirage, hoping to actually quench its thirst. Now, of course, if you tell a deer, why don't you bend down a little bit, and you'll find out there's water right there, the deer will probably not listen to you. So people are like animals. If you explain to them that they're not their body, that they're actually a spiritual being, and therefore they need spiritual happiness, if we think we're a body, then obviously the body, we know what it needs, eating, sleeping, and perhaps mating and defending. But if we're not the body, then it will not completely satisfy ourselves. Just like if we identify with ourselves with our car, then we may think that my necessity is to fill up the car with gas and oil. And if I do that, then my life is complete, taking care of the car. That's called, as I said many times, a hum car, that I am the car. Not the car. We're actually the passenger in the car, and therefore the passenger also needs food and maintenance. So as the soul needs spiritual nourishment. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give people spiritual nourishment, and if they get a little spiritual nourishment, then they'll wake up to such a that there exists spiritual nourishment. They're not going to get that spiritual nourishment by mass community. The modern media is not delivering, in general, spiritual nourishment, although there are programs on different mass media channels, but the majority of mass media is not dedicated to spiritual enlightenment. Nor is our educational, modern education, dedicated to discovering oneself within and the super self. As a matter of fact, they're dedicated much to the opposite, to developing technology for a sense gratification, which Prabhupada said we're not against, we're not opposing it, but technology and modern advancement in technology should be utilized in Krishna's service. Everything should be utilized in Krishna's service in order to actually be beneficial for the self. There's no problem to taking care of the body. The body has to be taken care of, but we should not neglect the most essential element in the body, namely the spirit self and the super self within the body. But it remains all very theoretical unless people are receptive to the chanting of the holy name especially, or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, or worshiping the deities, or serving the devotees, or trying to change one's life from material to spiritual, or even taking prasadam. Somehow or another, yena tena karpakarena mana krishna nisavya. Somehow or another, people should be given an opportunity to take part in the chanting, dancing, feasting, and then afterwards all the other rules and regulations should follow. Because if we get a little taste, and we want more of a taste, then the more of the taste will come as we become more refined in our existence. Of course, not everyone's going to be equally receptive. Just like you can't expect from wood, automatically there's going to become fire, or even from smoke, automatically fire will come. Generally speaking, the closer one is to the point of fire, then the easier it is to invoke it. Therefore, we cannot be disappointed that not everyone will be equally receptive, but we should find those who are willing to become fire, experience the fire of Krishna consciousness, and not necessarily overly dwell on people like wood and don't believe there's such a thing as fire within themselves and only identify themselves as wood. In any case, by the loud chanting of the holy name, as Haridasa Thakura told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even the inanimate objects, inanimate living beings, those who don't move like the trees and the other living entities who are seemingly, who are in the mode of ignorance, that even then they will be benefited by the loud chanting of the holy name. They may not become pure devotees unless you have the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convert the animals in the Jarikanda forest into dancing and chanting devotees, where the lion, the tigers and the deer were kissing each other and embracing, chanting the holy name. I don't think we're going to find too many devotees with that potency nowadays. But at least Prabhupada said that those who are like animals, if we chant and dance and distribute prasadam and transcendental knowledge in the form of transcendental books, some of them may dance and chant also. So that's what our mission is for us to understand that the value of focusing our attention on Krishna and giving our love to him, and at the same time trying to help others understand that within themselves is the potential to find the happiness that they're looking for, which cannot be found externally, but can be found as one actually becomes aware of Krishna within oneself and outside oneself by the proper cultivation of Krishna consciousness, which means that one has to at least try to act in the mode of goodness, try to see things in the mode of goodness, if not transcendentally, and then try to come to a higher and higher stage of consciousness, by which one becomes more and more receptive to the potency of Krishna and his pure devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna. How come the devotees are not happy? Always.
Devotees are happy.
Theoretically.
No, devotees are happy. The problem is how to become a devotee. And if those who are aspiring to become devotees aren't happy, that's good. That means they're not following the process very strictly, and Krishna's is giving them unhappiness. Material nature is giving them unhappiness to inspire them to take Krishna consciousness more seriously. If by not strictly following, everyone became happy, then we'd have a bigger problem. Because then they wouldn't take Krishna consciousness seriously. They'd never take it seriously. So here, Krishna especially helps the devotees become unhappy if they don't strictly follow. Otherwise, if we were in the heavenly planets or even the subterranean planets, we'd be so-called happy in sense gratification, and we wouldn't make any advancement in devotional service nor Krishna consciousness. But here it's an opportunity, through our unhappiness, to try to find where the real happiness is and give up our attachments to the very things that we're devoted to that are causing us unhappiness.
Many times we can see that the statement of the process is too difficult or doesn't work, and that it's a process for many lifetimes, not in one lifetime.
Well, then so, it does work if it's after many lifetimes. Then it does work.
I mean, it can be excused that they don't take it seriously now. So
one can become Krishna conscious in one moment, or not after millions of years. It's only a question of understanding and accepting what Krishna consciousness actually is. So as long as we accept Maya's talk, preaching to us, it's very slow, it can't be done. As long as we accept that, then Maya will make sure that it'll be very slow and it'll never get done.
So how to support devotees who imbibe this kind of a mood?
Well, we already said they're not devotees.
Aspiring devotees.
Well, you have to be happy yourself. By happy association, they might see, well, I'm not happy, but this person looks happy. So maybe I should find out how he became happy. Even in the material world, if someone sees someone else happy, they inquire, well, I took this drug or, you know, whatever. They want to find out how this person got happy in some way or another. So you see someone happier than you, then you might be inquisitive. How are they more happy than me? How are they more enthusiastic? You may inquire, and then you can find out.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.